This week on Hyperspace Broadcast, we return to the rain-slicked streets of Gotham to see what our old pal Batman is up to. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Hyperspace Broadcast, a show where two real friends dig through Toonami's back catalog and try to determine what, if anything, is worth revisiting. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
And this week we're covering episodes 66 through 75 of Batman the Animated Series, starting season 2. Now, I know what you're thinking, but wait a minute. Each season on the DVD only includes about 20 episodes. Well, that's because they split the actual show over 4 DVDs, even though there's effectively 2 seasons and then another show that's 20 episodes.
They just tagged that on.
Yeah.
Call it one show.
I mean, technically it is kind of the same show. New Batman Adventures are still Batman the Animated Series.
It's not confusing at all. In fact, all you need to know is that we're watching some episodes that exist.
Yeah, but if for some reason you feel compelled to follow along or like watch the episodes we're going to talk about, we are going to be using the DVD episode listings. So basically, we have watched episodes 310 through 319. That is season 3, episode 10 through season 3, episode 19, in case for some reason you want to follow along. But Batman the Animated Series, we've obviously talked about at length already in previous episodes, so there's not really much to go over, but, you know, just for a refresher, it's an animated series developed by Bruce Timm and Eric Radomski. It started the DCAU, which also includes Superman the Animated Series, Justice League Unlimited, etc., and they were sort of, in a sense, visually based on Tim Burton's Batman films, so it's kind of got a dark noir sort of look to it, despite being a cartoon.
But also with, like, kind of creepy, goofy-looking villains at the same time.
Yeah, right. And then the second season of the show, which is what we're starting now, consists of 20 episodes. We'll be covering it over the next 2 weeks. The last 15 were broadcast as The Adventures of Batman and Robin, and subsequent reruns were also broadcast under that title for some reason. So, you know, as though it weren't confusing enough, you know, the last 15 episodes of the 20-episode second season broadcast under a different title.
Fucking marketing decisions that we all have to suffer for now.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Kids would like it better if they had mentioned Robin in the title.
Yeah,
kids
probably.
Love Robin.
Everyone loves Robin. He's great.
Everyone's fun.
So, that all said, let's get into our Zeniths and Nadirs. Again, this show doesn't really have any kind of continuous plot line, so if you know Batman in general, which you probably do, you know the premise for the series. So we're just going to dive right into our favorites and least favorites, and then have some honorable mentions. Peter, what was your favorite episode of this block?
My favorite episode was episode 311, Bullet for Bullock. Bullock, the detective who fucking hates Batman, and in Alfred's words, looks like a unmade bed.
Yeah.
In one of the best, like, offhanded slams. Classic Alfred slam, the slam master.
Yeah, to be fair, Alfred does have a lot of, like, sarcastic slams, kind of backhanded slams,
yeah.
I guess.
So Bullock is being targeted by probably some kind of monster. Someone's mobster, not monster.
I mean, it wouldn't put it past the series, frankly.
Yeah,
there are some monsters in this block. It's weird.
There's a plant monster later, yeah.
Shit gets weird.
He's getting targeted for his life, and he's like constantly on edge, and eventually, like, Batman comes in to help, and they have this, like, uneasy kind of almost buddy cop relationship. Kind of a classic buddy cop relationship, but in a noir kind of sense.
Mm-hmm.
The whole episode is like very, it plays up like the noir aspects of this show that are already in place,
mm-hmm.
but like really goes for it in terms of the soundtrack, which got a lot of like brass and stuff and the action scenes.
Yeah, right. It's got like a really jazzy undertone, which the show generally doesn't have, and it works really well, actually.
And it has a lot of like cop dialogue, like cop slang. in a way that I'm only familiar with from, like, I don't know, noir kind of things, or from, like, cop drama.
Yeah, sure.
At one point, Batman even, like, refers to there being crack houses in Gotham.
Yeah, like, which is weird, like, to hear on a cartoon.
Yeah.
And he doesn't say it once.
He's a crack dealer.
Yeah, they say crack houses many times, and every time it was just like, oof, like, what?
I thought it was awesome.
I mean, it's awesome. It's just bizarre to see on, like, a cartoon that is ostensibly for kids.
It's also weird. It's weird to find that awesome, but it's kind of like, oh, like, it feels mature. Like, they're talking about a real issue and a real kind of, like, drug instead of, like, oh, they're those teens using, like, laser smack. the new drug on the streets that,
yeah, you know,
that
laser
makes
smack
you, kill your parents and listen to punk rock.
I assume that's a real thing, actually.
Yeah,
you just put, like, you just point laser pointers into your eyes, and then
I
gets
pictured
you high,
the drug from the drug from RoboCop 2.
Okay, I'm not familiar,
like,
sadly.
I've seen, like, bits of it on TV.
I don't know why I said sadly. There's almost no way that movie's good.
The whole premise, to my understanding, is, like, the gang leader who's distributing these drugs is a kid, and so RoboCop has this, like, big crisis, like, cannot shoot child. No.
Okay, I hope that that's an accurate portrayal of that movie.
Look, I've seen it with the sound off, like, on FX in the background, so...
Yeah, while exercising, I assume.
Yeah. Right. You can assume it's all intact. This is also a memory from, like, 4 years ago, so yeah, I think
we're
good. Yeah,
and generally, we remember things very well that we've seen, like, yesterday. So I think that's probably an accurate portrayal of RoboCop 2.
Now, in any case, this episode's fun. It's got a twist to it where it turns out it's not this mobster who they've actually tracked down out of prison who's been attacking him, but actually his fucking landlord, because Bullock is such a shitty tenant.
Well, and also because the landlord, I mean, yes, he's a shitty tenant, but also the landlord wants to raise rent, but he can't because his apartment's rent controlled. So he's trying to force out Bullock in order to make more money from renting apartments, which is very funny living in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Sadly poignant for you.
Yeah, a little bit.
So, but all in all, like, yeah, the whole, like, new musical aspect of this episode too, with the big band kind of sound, was awesome. Mm-hmm. The dialogue was just fun. I like Bullock. I like Bullock and Batman trying to get along and having to, like, work together. It's a great episode.
Yeah, it's also based on Detective Comics 651, which has the same title, which I suspect, like, I don't know how direct an adaptation it is. Looking on the DC Comics wiki, it seems that it's pretty much exactly the episode, but who knows as far as dialogue and stuff. But
what,
I would
do
suspect...
they still call it Detective Comics for Batman? Or is it, like, how old is 651 of Detective Comics?
Fuck if I know, dude.
You're on the fucking wiki.
Touche. But yeah, I mean, it. I'm not familiar with this stuff enough to talk with any kind of authority, so I'm just going to say that.
Welcome to our show.
I mean, generally, I know what I'm talking about. Comics, I'm totally lost in the weeds.
Comics is just a whole other realm of fucking minutia in terms of releases and anything.
But at any rate, I wonder if maybe that has something to do with the more, like, cop style dialogue and the more, you know, just even just the reference to crack houses, I suspect, might come from that comic rather than just be a thing whole cloth for this show. But who knows?
Well, and it might just, like, they're trying to just emulate a more, like, raw police thriller kind of thing, where it's like, where, like, people don't fucking mince words, like, cops talking to each other, they'll give you the harsh shit.
Right,
I don't know, man. Something about that I really liked.
Yeah, so my episode, or my favorite episode, is Season 3, Episode 19, simply entitled Bane.
Hell yeah.
Assume you can guess what happens in this episode. This is the introduction of Bane. And honestly, it's kind of standard for an introductory episode. Rupert Thorne, the mobster, hires Bane to kill Batman. And so Bane figures out this plan to lure Batman to him. And then, you know, Batman finds out about Bane, and Bane finds out about Batman, and they have this kind of back and forth. before a final showdown where Batman screws up Bane's venom pump so that it just keeps pumping venom into him. In case you're not familiar with Bane, essentially he is a mercenary assassin who has this like pump into his head of some kind of drug that like totally beefs him out. So he triggers that pump in such a way that it can't be turned off, and Bane kind of freaks out.
Bane seems like he's almost about to explode.
Yes, this is true. There's a number of reasons I like this episode. Just in general, like, it does a really good job of introducing Bane. There's one shot in particular where in his first appearance, all these people are getting off a plane, and then he comes out and he just towers over everyone. Like, it looks like he can barely fit through the door. He like sits in the back seat of this limousine, and the whole car like creaks down onto its one wheel. And there's a lot of that kind of stuff.
I like him a lot as a villain because he's not crazy.
That's true. He's very lucid.
Really intelligent too. Like, and he's keeping up with Batman and really good at, like, you know, he's good at the investigative angle as well. But also, I like that he's like actually of sound mind, and it just doesn't like throw him into the same asylum over and over again like everyone else.
Right. And the thing that's nice about Bane too, I mean, this is, you know, kind of a classic thing, but he's not just the big dumb guy. He's also very smart. So, you know, that's an interesting dynamic.
Well, and without like the insanity aspect too, he seems like he's more of a credible threat. Whereas like sometimes with the other people, it's like you're more worried about the chaos of their minds of like what they're going to come up with next. But
yeah,
this
sure.
guy's just Instead straightforward. Of... Like, he's a fucking killer.
That's true. And he is also specifically trying to kill Batman. There's no like, you know, he's not the Joker who essentially sees his whole relationship with Batman as some kind of game where he's not really trying to kill Batman. He's just trying to fuck Batman up. So that's an interesting aspect to Bane's character. I also kind of like that once his mask is removed in the end, he's just a very normal looking guy.
Yeah.
There's nothing particularly remarkable about his appearance except that he's huge. And then two last things to note here. I guess three. Of course, because it's Bane, we have to have some statements about how he has to break Batman, and then he almost breaks Batman's back over his knee, because that's the thing Bane's most famous for. And I think if you don't include a reference to that in a story that includes Bane, you get fined $500 or something. Like, I think it's actually contractually obligated.
I want to see like an actual like pro wrestling match. They should have like a wrestling movie, but it's a Batman movie.
Okay.
And it's just
Killer
leads
Croc
up to the...
versus Bane, because they're both wrestlers, kind of.
Killer Croc of shit.
Wow. Damn.
Oh, good one. What a. I give me a second. I got some shit to say about Killer Croc.
Yeah, right. We'll get to that in a minute. I just want to say that,
you know, you could just have the build up to a big fight at the end, and it's Batman versus Bane, and he breaks Batman's back, and then Batman somehow turns it around on him in the last second of the fight.
Yeah, that seems plausible. So yes, we have to have the back breaking thing because Bane won't appear in a TV show without someone mentioning that he broke Batman's back once.
Yeah,
and also, we have this like one shot that for some reason is one of my most distinct memories from Batman the Animated Series, which is Bane just like lifting weights. And I would really love to know why that image stuck in my mind so much, but it did. I don't know why, because it's completely unremarkable. Like, there's nothing that interesting about it even. He's just sitting on a couch lifting a weight. And it's like, all right, that's that.
I remember that correctly for some reason.
Yeah. Also, the final thing is that this episode ends really weirdly for me because, of course, you know, Rupert Thorne's secretary, Candace, makes a deal with Bane where she's like, oh, you know, once we get rid of Batman, we can get rid of Rupert Thorne and then you can rule the city, etc. And Batman breaks into Rupert Thorne's office in order to, you know, show him the defeated Bane, but also to play a tape recording of Candace saying this to Bane. And then Batman just kind of walks out, and the last shot is Batman walking down the hallway while Rupert Thorne just shouts, "Candace!" Like she's fucking Alvin of Alvin and the Chipmunks. It's so bizarre. And then the episode's just over. It's like, what? I'm just, I don't know. There's something so funny to me because
it's really cartoony.
It seems like there should be a bigger consequence for plotting against your mob boss, employer. But I like the idea that that was literally all it was. Just Batman walks out and he's just like, damn it, Candace. And then that was it. And they never talked about it again.
You wily so-and-so plotting against me, my dad.
Yeah, I really love that idea. But I don't know. I assume that he had her thrown in a river or something. So what was your least favorite episode, Peter?
My least favorite episode was episode 310.
Speaking of Sideshow.
Yeah, Killer Croc. This is the episode that led us into this new block, you know, the return after so long for Batman the Animated Series, for our show. And I didn't care for it. The whole plot of this is like Batman and Killer Croc are fighting on a train, they fall off, Killer Croc runs into this this colony of like escaped sideshow carnival acts, mm-hmm. and you know, and they're like living peacefully now, and they welcome him into his group. Like, oh, you were considered a freak as well. Well, come join us. We live peacefully, you know, and it's like a little sanctuary for us. And you know, Batman comes in and he like joins their society and is instantly evil and like clearly just gonna fuck them over.
Yeah, Croc does not have much of a change of heart. Joining this society of former sideshow performers who all seem extremely nice.
And like instantly he's gonna fuck him over. Batman comes in, he captures Batman, and then eventually like captures everyone else because they refuse to go along with him, his idea of just killing Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on guys, we're gonna kill him. Like,
yeah guys, no. Why won't, come on, we'll just murder him, it's fine. Yeah.
and you know,
I don't
they fight
and why you have
out.
A problem with this.
Yeah, I just thought this episode had potential because I've always like seen Killer Croc and I've been like, oh, I want to get the deep dive on that character. I want to figure out what makes Killer Croc tick. And we never get that. He's always fucking one dimensional. Just like, I'm evil. Crime.
Yeah. Like, I assume what makes it. Killer Croc tick is like an alarm clock that's been shoved down his throat by
Peter
Pan.
Yeah. Like the whole premise left me feeling kind of unsatisfied. Like I thought the premise had some potential there, like maybe even as a two-parter if he really got like, I would like to see multiple sides of Croc. Maybe he actually does join them and then is kind of tempted by returning to the evils of crime and gives in. Instead it's just like instantly fucks him over, he captures them, they barely are friends for like a couple minutes before he's trying to steal their money and before he turns everyone against him. And it's just kind of boring to me. Like, it just seems like a wasted potential.
To their credit, I think they do, because there is a scene where he like, you know, it seems like he's going to steal the box of money that they've told him they have, and then he doesn't. He puts it back, and I think that moment is meant to imply that perhaps he is having a change of heart, but Batman showing up kind of derails that whole thing. But I don't know. I don't think it's quite enough.
Yeah.
Because it's just barely a thing. And like, he's almost immediately after that trying to kill Batman. And then calling everybody else freaks is like, man, Croc, you really went there, huh, asshole?
You really shit the bed.
Like, you.
What was your least favorite episode?
Yeah, I also want to mention that that's also loosely based on a Detective Comics story, 410. My least favorite episode was season 3, episode 15. It's an episode called The Terrible Trio. Let me tell you something about this episode. There's only one reason I didn't like it. I think it's a fine episode, but the whole plot is about these three, like, rich frat bro assholes who treat everyone like garbage and just think their money can buy everything, and so they decide to start stealing stuff because it gives them a rush, which is like not the worst, you know, idea for a group of bad guys, but there's just something about these characters that's so fucking like grating on my nerves because they're such pricks, like characters who refer to people as the help, for example, just make me cringe. And the whole thing just felt too close to reality for me, honestly.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
It's just rich assholes getting away with shit. And then at the end, you know, the lead asshole is like, you know, I'll get the best defense money can buy. I'll be out immediately.
Yeah, you can't put me away.
And this led to possibly the most cynical note that I've ever written, which is, of course, he does end up in prison in the end. And my note is, guess this really does take place in an alternate universe. So thanks for bringing me down, Batman.
Yeah, yeah. Here's some of the phrases I use to describe those characters throughout my notes. Rich, elitist, frat boy, asshole, game hunters. Frat douche, one word.
Yeah.
Rich bitch boys.
All right, damn.
And bitch boy again.
Yeah, it's just that. Like, everything else about the episode is pretty on point, but there's something about, like, this show does often have, like, corporate villains who are getting away with bad shit, and they usually end up creating a supervillain. I mean, that's the backstory of Mr. Freeze and Clayface, basically.
Oh, yeah.
But, so, I don't know, there's something about that that feels more acceptable to me, because usually it's not simply Batman going after these people. It's like, you know, there's a villain who wants revenge on them, and then Batman has to kind of, you know, make a decision between theoretical justice, quote unquote, and like the law, basically.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something more compelling about that. Like, this is
like
just
Mr. Freeze. Yeah. It's right. It's a fucking amazing story too.
Yeah. Like, this is just like some rich kids stealing shit and belittling everybody, including Bruce Wayne, and then getting caught and being put in jail. And it's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
It felt too close to reality for me, to an extent.
Too close and yet too far away.
Right. Yeah. So what was your honorable mention?
My honorable mention was episode 317, Time Out of Joint. I don't know what that phrase means. I've never heard it before.
Yeah, like, sure.
So, unless you, I guess you're referring to like the time out of the joint, out of jail.
Yeah, right? I think that's the intention.
Sure.
But again, I'm kind of assuming myself, so who knows?
I actually originally thought this is the introduction of Clock King. It is not. This is the, this is Clock King episode, and I really enjoyed it. There's something about he basically in this episode he's been acting as like the butler for this brilliant time scientist, and has been secretly stealing this device that like super slows down time
or super speeds up time.
Yeah, whatever it does, it makes him super fast and everyone else like can't see him.
He,
like,
well, I mean, it's
like, basically the Flash.
Yeah, it does both, though, is the point.
But I love Clock King's design. I love that he is a big, like, he uses a big clock hand as a cane. And I like seeing him like warp around. Like the time travel stuff, the way they present it visually is pretty interesting and fun. It's a lot of, it just seems like he's teleporting. But they do some like interesting fun things with the mechanics too, like, you know, Batman's running with a bomb that he like puts a time thing on to slow it down, so it's like very slowly exploding, and he's like sprinting with it to get it out of the way of the people. They have like a bike chase where they attach the time things to their bikes and
oh yeah,
super
that's pretty
fucking
cool.
Fast. They do cool things with it all in like, you know, the 22-minute runtime. I was pretty impressed. I thought it was a fun episode.
Yeah, specifically this thing is like, it's some kind of time device that the scientist is developing, and
it
the intention
looks like a Walkman.
Yeah, it really does. Oh my god. Totally does. But the idea is like, I don't know, I personally found that the scientist's intended use for it, because it can either slow time down for like a thing or speed time up for a thing.
Yeah, you just attach it to whatever thing.
Yeah, right. And the intention is to use like speed time up in order to basically make it so that materials that emit radiation just, you know, are made harmless by the fact that you can just speed up their half-life, essentially.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I thought was a
yeah,
really
that's
like
it's pretty neat.
Like, that's a really cool use of that kind of technology that I don't think I've ever seen before. Also, having watched Chernobyl quite recently, it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a practical use for a technology that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. I did like this episode quite a bit, too. I love the idea of giving Clock King direct control over time itself rather than just, like, timing. And Clock King's always fun.
Yeah, he's one of those, like he's kind of a second-rate villain, but or he's kind of treated as such.
He's
but...
absolutely a second-tier villain. Okay.
But he's no fun. Question like, about he's that. So fun, I feel like he could replace... I mean, Killer Croc's probably second-tier as well, huh?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I guess he should be up there. He should be given a little more respect. Show us a little more respect to Clock King.
Yeah, he does... He is one of the very few Batman villains that reappears in Justice League and Justice League Unlimited.
Oh, that's cool. Because he could act like he could be a Flash villain too if he gets the right equipment.
Yeah, kind of. I can see
like
that.
He could pretty much be a rival to the Flash with this like time travel-y shit.
Right. So my honorable mention is an episode called House and Garden. This is season 3, episode 14.
This fucking app.
This episode is generally like fine. The basic premise is that Poison Ivy has been released from Arkham because she is now considered sane, and she is raising two boys with a I guess divorced dad who she's now married to, and meanwhile rich bachelors are getting poisoned all over the city and no one really knows why, and Poison Ivy is the obvious culprit, but she seems to be totally fine now. Yeah. Batman even follows her around for a day, and it's like, well, everything seems legit here. Eventually, of course, it's discovered that things are not so legit, and this leads to one of the crazier reveals in the show so far, yeah. Which is that Poison Ivy is growing, like, plant human clones in the basement of her greenhouse, and like there's just this scene where Batman goes over to this little nest and they open up and there's like, you know, babies in these little seed pods,
basically literal Cabbage Patch Kids start coming out.
That makes it sound much more adorable than it is.
Like, it's kind of adorable.
I don't know, I found it kind of horrifying, to be honest. And Batman is kind of similarly evil. Horrified, like,
yeah.
And then, like, as though that weren't enough, later, after Batman defeats Poison Ivy and, you know, sprays some kind of weed killer onto all these plant monsters to destroy them, it's revealed that Poison Ivy is herself a plant clone of Poison Ivy, and she starts melting away, and then the real one has gotten away, and for yeah. extra points, has a photo album with one photo of her former, you know, plant family, and then multiple photos of Harley Quinn, which I love. So,
it was a fucking wild twist when they revealed, like, oh, the happy family she has was all clones, and also those clones like eventually mutate into Plant the Hulk,
and yeah, pretty much
just kind of go wild and attack. And fortunately, they had those plant babies transform immediately into Plant the Hulk because they didn't want to show Batman murdering a bunch of babies.
Or just people, generally.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, spraying acid on those people. So,
yeah.
But God, still, like, the Poison Ivy clone basically melts. And she's like, yeah, I was a clone. And then she dies. And it's like... Yeah, maybe she was a clone, but she seemed like she was totally fucking sentient, and Batman
yeah,
murdered
her. Yeah, she seemed
her.
Pretty self-aware, yeah. But now she's dead.
Yeah,
so,
this is fine.
Whatever, it's fine. She was a weird plant clone.
Yeah, Batman's killing rule doesn't count when clones are involved, because clones aren't
people,
right?
It doesn't count when robots are involved, so why
can't
would
kill
it?
A robot. Haven't you seen Iron Giant?
That, though, is really the reason that we wouldn't be able to not mention this episode. The twist legitimately caught me by surprise.
Yeah.
Both times. Like, I thought I had figured it out, and then the plant babies was totally out of left field, and then, you know, Ivy herself being a clone completely caught me off guard. Like, I wouldn't say this is necessarily a great episode, but the twists are handled very, very well.
Yeah, I would say I felt disappointed at first because I thought, like, Ivy was actually, part of me thought Ivy was actually going to be, like, redeemed and have, like,
a
normal rehabilitation and recovery, which would have been kind of cool and, like, maybe a good message on some level, because no one ever is rehabilitated in this show.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But the way they turn it around and make it so that she's still evil is so like ridiculous and entertaining that it was like, ah, that's fine. You know what? It was such a surprise and such a weird way to do that twist that kind of worth it.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that sort of stuff runs into both the like status quo as God sort of thing, where you kind of need these villains to be villains at the end of the day so that they can come back. And also, like, Batman's always been kind of deterministic in a way that I never really thought about too much until I was watching these episodes, and it's a little weird, but that is kind of part of the mythos.
Well, like, they're never going to get better, they're always going to be crazy.
I mean, kind of, yeah. Like, you know, Croc's the episode that you mentioned with Croc literally ends with him being like, well, guess this is just who I am. It's like, ooh, that's a depressing message.
Yeah, right.
But that's Batman.
It would be interesting to see, and I'm sure this has been done in a comic or something, where it's like a villain actually rehabilitate and like adjusting to life and kind of having difficulties with that and like trying to, you know, resist turning back into a supervillain.
Yeah, I'm sure that's been done in some comics somewhere. I know that in one of the, I think it's one of the Frank Miller Batman comics, there is a subplot or plot, again, comics, not my forte, where Two-Face is actually kind of redeemed. Like, he has plastic surgery and essentially is declared sane again, but the, you know, the Two-Face personality is still eating away at him.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, eventually he goes back to being a criminal, but there is at least like some attempt to address the idea that maybe it's possible to make these people healthy again.
I want to see Clock King rehabilitated in a sense where he has zero clocks around him at any time.
Yeah, and he doesn't care about time at all. And someone makes a time pun around him and he just kind of shakes his head in disappointment.
He doesn't have windows, so he can't see the sun.
this sounds much worse than what he currently is.
But it like gives him complete happiness. He's no longer anxious about time at all. But like the second Batman opens the door to his house, he sees the sun and he's completely back.
Yeah, that's it.
The sun time.
Well, we're gonna get to our break. When we get back, we'll talk a little more about this block and then talk about our bet for next episode and what we're gonna be watching next.
Stay sharp. These perps are bad news. Skagged a couple of bank guards Christmas Day.
Batman will return in a moment. Hey there, everyone. This is Michael, doing what I always do during the break, which is tell you information that you probably already know, but hey, what else am I going to do at this time? Our opening and closing music is Vapor Dive In, and the music for the bumpers is Monkeys. Both of these tracks are by Onatech. You can find more of their music on SoundCloud. Rights were secured through Jamendo. Our next full episode will release August 28th, and next week catch a mini-sode where we discuss Batman versus Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. As always, you can submit a topic or show suggestion for a mini-sode via DM on facebook.com/HBpod, Twitter at HBpod, or you can email us at hyperspacebroadcastpod@gmail.com. And now, back to Batman. Hey, we're back. Peter, what did you think about this block of episodes?
You know, my initial impression was I was a little bored more often than I'd expected, and was a little, because of that, a little disappointed, because I had pretty high expectations going in after the last few blocks of this we had. Mm-hmm. Geez, over a year ago, has it been? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Talking over it now, like, some of the highlights I seem to enjoy more. Like, you know, thinking back on Bane was like, that was a really good episode. Mm-hmm. Clock King I liked a lot. There are elements of the you know, plant episode I liked. I forgot Poison Ivy's name.
you know.
But, you know, like, I miss some of the more investigative aspects of the show. Like, it seemed like there was more just action and, like, a lot of just, like, oh, I'm holding this character hostage. Come get him, Batman. How's he going to get out of this one? It's like that. I feel like that happens.
Yeah, that does happen several
characters
times,
are held hostage
it?
So often. Like, most of the major villains, I feel like, have been introduced already, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, when they do a new introduction, because it's like you get this deep dive on a character. You get to see Batman investigating them, trying to figure out where they're from or what makes them tick.
Yeah, or who they are even. Yeah. Like,
and we get that with Bane, and I thought it was awesome. And, like, pretty much every other episode where they introduce a major villain, like, those usually, like, make it to the top of our lists.
Yeah, generally speaking, I'd say so.
Mudman, whatever. You know, that guy.
Two-Face, Mudman. Like,
who the fuck
is like
Mudman?
Harley Quinn, who apparently doesn't know the name of any of their Arkham friends in one episode, referring to several as Hat Guy, Lizard Man, and Puppet Face, which is hilarious.
Who's Hat Guy? Oh, is that
Mad Hatter,
Mad
I assume.
Hatter. That's awesome. Yeah,
you know, Mudman.
That's fucking great.
Clue Master, etc.
I'm surprised there's two characters with the word face. They should have called Killer Croc Gator Face.
Yeah, that would have been great.
Just everything is face.
And he just drinks Gatorade, I assume.
Bat face.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I honestly was not super enthralled with these episodes, which was a little disappointing. Like, I don't think this season's doing it for me as much as the first season did. Mm-hmm. The Bane episode's great. Like, there are a lot of details that I really like about these episodes, but none of them really stick out to me all that much, except for, like, individual crazy moments. One thing that's interesting about these episodes to me is that I feel like they're starting to ramp up the kind of supernatural stuff in Batman, which is pretty interesting. Like, I feel like they might have been preparing for the eventual Superman the Animated Series, like, kind of spinoff.
Right.
Because we didn't mention it, but there is an episode with Ra's al Ghul that features a straight-up, like, Egyptian mummy zombie.
Yeah.
And a bunch of fucking, like, goop monsters. You know, there's an episode... There is the plant people. And then this next block, they have a straight-up demon in one episode.
Oh, really?
So look forward to that. And, like, that stuff's pretty cool. I do, like, it's not quite there yet, but one of my favorite things about Justice League and Justice League Unlimited is when they just start going whole hog into the weird DC canon.
Yeah.
And, like, pulling out stuff that, just, like, who would have thought that someday we would see a show that had Shining Knight in it. Like, who would have thought that this would be a thing that someone would bother putting in a show, this random ass character who,
right,
like, doesn't make a whole lot of sense in this context.
There's one person who was like, that's my favorite.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Tony,
but
man,
I,
yeah,
but I love that stuff. It's like, it's just like with Marvel, like, just them going into the point where they can incorporate such crazy shit like they did in Infinity War.
Yeah.
Is awesome. And I love seeing that kind of gradual acceptance of weirdness over the course of a franchise, I guess.
Speaking of Calendar Man, is there also a Calculator Man?
Yes.
Okay. And a Clock King. Were they just, yes, like, fucking looking around the room like, I don't know, man. Folder Man, huh?
I mean,
he
to
folds.
Be fair, my understanding is that all of these characters were probably created during the Silver Age, so quite possibly.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
this is the era that brought us the Penny Plunderer, so fucking anything's game. Or Catman, who's just Catwoman, basically, but a dude.
Penman.
Like, and he has a Catmobile. Oh, God, so much dumb stuff.
He, like, writes everywhere. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird shit. Batmite, etc.
Yeah. It really,
which
it
the
is,
show doesn't really get into, which I'm okay with.
I mean, yeah, there's some stuff you gotta fucking, like, Ace the Bat-Hound, I don't know.
Oh, man, Ace the Bat-Hound is technically in the DCAU, but...
Great.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I don't know. I love I think one of the things that the DCAU does really well, and this is getting ahead of myself maybe, but it does a really good job of bringing in some of the weird stuff of the comics without making it too silly to like accept.
Yeah.
Like it does a good job to me of balancing the silly stuff with the more serious stuff and creating a kind of tapestry that is fun overall.
It's, and which is kind of like the Tim Burton kind of thing a little bit. It's like it's got this dark aspect. And it's got the serious aspect, but at the same time, it's got this like cartoony dark aspect that's in there too.
Yeah, yeah.
And it all kind of meshes together in a weird way.
There is like a little bit of silly. I mean, it's Tim Burton, so there's a little bit of silliness inherent in most of his work anyway.
But I think that carries over into the animated series as well.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more aspect on a little more focus on seriousness or like a more investigative approach kind of thing, but it's still definitely got some of that vibe.
I am really looking forward to the next block because it has, I think, one of my favorite episodes of the original Batman the Animated Series. I will say, too, watching this made me realize that, you know, I may rescind this after watching it because it's been a while, but I think I prefer the new Batman adventures just a little bit over the original series because it delves into some more dark characterization of Batman, which I think works really well. Whereas this kind of still keeps it a little light with his characterization.
What is the new Batman Adventures?
So the new Batman Adventures is it's basically the same creative team, but they streamline the animation style to make it fit with Superman the Animated Series.
Oh, okay.
And they changed pretty much everyone's character design. Sometimes a lot, sometimes not so much.
That's fine.
There's also a little bit of a time skip, technically, because Robin is now Nightwing instead of being Robin.
Oh, that's neat.
Etc.
All right, cool. When does that happen?
I mean, we're going to be watching that for, I think, our 101st and 102nd episodes.
Oh, shit.
After we clear up the rest of season 2 of the original Batman the Animated Series. And speaking of clearing up the rest of season 2, we should talk about our bet. What do you think we should do, Peter?
I was thinking we could do how many episodes does Robin appear in? Because it seems kind of randomly he'll just show up in an episode. And then when he's not in an episode, it's kind of like when you play peekaboo with a baby and like you cover their eyes and they think the world stopped existing or like.
Yeah, sure. Or like when you leave a dog alone at home and it kind of assumes that you're just gone forever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like when Robin exits the scene, when Robin's not in an episode, it's like we're in a universe where Robin has never existed. Like they do not acknowledge like, oh, we should call Robin. Like, no, Robin doesn't exist until
he gives a shit
in.
About Robin.
It's a Schrodinger's sidekick.
I think one of my favorite moments, which is from a much earlier episode in this series, but I was watching it with my college roommate and there's this scene where Batman's driving the Batmobile and Robin calls him up on the little like telephone like screen thing in the Batmobile. He's like, hey Bruce, you want my help? And Batman's basically just like, no thanks, and shuts it off. and just my roommate just turns to me, he's like, don't actually help me. Like, I don't care about you. I don't want you here. It feels like that sometimes. So, yeah, I'm curious to see how frequently Robin's going to show up. I'm going to say we have 10 episodes, so I don't know. I'll say like 5 times. That seems like a safe bet.
I'll go 3.
All right. Well, bet's set and locked.
Yeah.
Next week, we are going to be watching for our minisode Batman versus Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is based on
awesome.
A comic miniseries and was very recently released, like in March of this year.
Oh, hell yeah.
I've read that it's pretty good. So
timely space broadcast.
I'm kind of excited to see it. Also, apparently they're like Batman talks about pizza in it.
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't know. Does he get his face shoved into a pizza and as a means of interrogation?
Not in Italy.
I guess we're going to find out. After that, of course, we will be
Neo
tackling Italy. Batman the yeah, right. Sorry.
It's get a Neo-Italian right, stereotype.
Yeah, with the Leaning Tower of Pisa that's not leaning because it's been knocked in the opposite direction. Yeah, and then of course after that we're going to be watching Batman the Animated Series. That's going to be part 7, and we're going to wrap up season 2 of the original series. So, yeah, that'll include fun episodes. Until then, I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby.
And this has been Hyperspace Broadcast. Be sure to revisit us next week for Batman versus the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Dawn of pizza.
Thanks for listening. If you want more of our content, follow us over at facebook.com/HBpod and Twitter @HBpod, where we post all of our episodes as well as additional content related to what we've been watching. This is also a great way to get in contact with us if you're so inclined. iTunes is also a surefire way to stay up to date, or I suppose Apple Podcasts now. iTunes doesn't exist anymore. But hey, Apple Podcasts, great way to stay up to date. And while you're there, consider leaving us a review. See you next week for Batman versus Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'm hoping for a fight between Batman and Krang, honestly.